Coaches, welcome to Daily Lagerine Podcast. Back again this week with two familiar faces. Dan and Ryan are joining us again. A busy weekend of football, lads. Really kick-started the championship, albeit there's a lot of debate over the benefits of the provincials and whether the timing of them or whatever, but there was a real sort of championship feel in a lot of the games. Derry, Donegal, obviously the standout tie of the round, the standout tie of the weekend, didn't disappoint as well. We were expecting McGuinness to come with something different. We'll chat about the game in great length. Tyrone and Cavan, super game of football. Cork for long periods, put it up to Kerry. Roscommon Mayo, we'll chat about that again, just didn't live up to the expectations that we maybe thought it would have, but certainly, lads, a lot of talking, a lot of talking points over the weekend, a lot of really good football. Ryan, you were one of the most well-travelled men in Ireland this weekend. You were in Celtic Park and in Breffni Park yesterday. You must be married an angel by if you're getting all this time out of the house by and then Leitrim as well. So, what was your thoughts in Derry Donegal, Ryan? An intriguing encounter. Anything different?
It was a brilliant location, Stephen. I was down there from 4:45, and already they were queued a mile and a half out the road. Game wasn't until 6:15. It was, I suppose, everyone was probably wondering what McGuinness was going to bring to the table, and it was evident that Donegal had been working on that championship game since probably November, when McGuinness would have got the whole group together. Goes without saying, they'd done a serious number on Derry's high press and Warren Lynch. They properly committed, though. Once the ball was kicked long, Donegal didn't just send two and three, they sent five, six, seven, and flooded both sides of where the ball was going to land. So if it landed in front, they had the bodies there to receive the break ball. If it was flicked on, they had the bodies there. They gambled and they were very brave. They knew that it was going to take that. It was going to take at least probably two to three goals to beat Derry. And I thought their defensive system as well. The first 10 minutes, you probably thought Derry here are in control. They were owning the ball. But it was obvious that Donegal had talked about the fact that they were going to have to suffer for large periods of the game. And what I mean by that is Derry will dictate. They'll move the ball left and right. They'll try and find pockets. But Donegal didn't really break. Yes, Ethan Doherty got in for a few easy scores, maybe. But the big thing was that Donegal were used to just holding their shape, tracking the runners, being willing to suffer, battle it out for maybe 2 to 3 minutes at a time. And then eventually they would get the turnover and they were gone. So it was a really well worked plan for McGuinness and his team. And Donegal obviously were full value for it. When they turned Derry over, though, they were relentless. It wasn't just the twos and the threes, the Patrick Mogans and the Ryan McHughes. It was fucking everyone was gone, flat out. It meant that Derry struggled very much with that running game.
Yeah, you could definitely see a sort of that was a stamp of McGuinness, Daniel, about 12 years ago. That real hard, aggressive running, and I call them the silent heroes, those men that are making the hard runs, who are never going to be involved in the play maybe, but they're providing that width, they're providing that depth, they're creating little pockets of space for other people. And you can nearly see, as Ryan said there as well, I would say that they've probably done a lot of hard training. They picked up a lot of injuries early in Jim's tenor this time around. Probably just a massive shock to the system from last year and then into this year with the high running. But Les, before we talk about that hard running, one thing for me is a massive, massive part of the game. I've always talked about kickouts being a platform to launch attacks from. A lot of people sort of would have a kickout strategy where it's a safe option. We can't concede from this. But for me, kickouts should be a platform to launch attacks from. Donegal, aka 2014, when they scored those couple of goals against Dublin, that was them back again. Long is the new short, maybe. But certainly, Les, in my opinion, this is what I was thinking, was there a huge level of disrespect shown to Sean Paton at the weekend there? And maybe Derry just thought, we'll go after him. We've got Glass. We've got Rodgers, but by God, boy, they were caught badly, Daniel.
Yeah, and not just Sean Paton, but I think you have to appreciate the size that Donegal have around the middle of the field. Jason McGee is probably 6'5". Langan's probably the same. Even Craig McGonigal is a massive man. They have big, big ball winners, and it was the exact replica of 2014. Let's call it spade a spade. It was the same. It was the very same, as you say, hitting Neil McGee or hitting, sorry, Neil Gallagher on the far 45, yeah, getting runners off. It was the exact same. I saw some people saying, "Well, did they exploit Orrin Lynch?" I think they would have done it either way because it suits McGuinness's team. I think an awful lot of people kind of yes, there's analysis in opposition teams, but there's also analysis on what works for you. And I thought Donegal, McGuinness especially, said, look, we've got monsters around the middle of the field. Derry have a really aggressive press. Let's get it as far away from that press as we possibly can. Let's hit it to the very worst we get a break, and you're away down the field. And probably having, like, I'd agree with Ryan, I'd say that's probably been the plan long term, because again, looking at your resources, thinking, how can we get scores? Because there's no doubt about it, they were going to need the goals ultimately. And I don't think it was a masterclass or anything like that. It was like defensively, what I liked about it, right? Yes, they had 15 back, right? But they didn't, a lot of teams these days are going, when anyone's inside the 45, it's man to man, it's tracking, it's tacking, it's contact. I thought Donegal actually just sat in that kind of a layered defensive square around the cordon. And I thought they actually conserved an awful lot of energy, because they spent a lot of their time being happy enough with Derry to have the few spinners from, like, Paul Cassidy kicked a couple, Ethan Doherty kicked a couple. It was like Flynn and Connolly a couple of years ago when they were kicking from distance. I think Donegal were happy enough with that. And then because they had maybe 2-3 minutes of sitting in and kind of just being patient and waiting for the turnover, they were like coiled springs then. So you had 5, 6, 7, 8 lads with quite a lot of energy to get down the far side of the field. Like, a lot of those Donegal lads didn't play a whole lot of league football. You had a huge amount of lads playing their first competitive game. So it's not as if they were, like, they had a huge body of work done. Like, I mean, as you said, they had a couple of injuries from early in the year. But it was, I thought it was impressive from Donegal. I still don't think, let's say, longer term, that's going to work when you get to Croke Park. But as regards a one-off game and a one-off day, brilliant occasion. And talk about the person, the power of the person being able to get something out of a group of lads that have been really poor for the last couple of years.
Well, we actually talked about this morning, Daniel. We were chatting in school about it. Like, last year, Ryan, Donegal came to Park Eschler and Newry. They were absolutely pathetic. You know, probably a poor enough downside, you know, played them off the park and beat them. You know, and Down went on and couldn't even win a Tailteann Cup. Like, this is where Down were at last year, like, in comparison to Donegal. And it stunk of 2010 for me. It really did. Like, I always remember John Joe Doherty walking off the pitch, boy, in the depths of the Spur and Cross McLean, lads behind him laughing and nudging each other live on RTE, and you're thinking, like, you've just thrown your manager under the bus. And the same sort of calibre that they done to Paddy Carr last year, the same group of players this year then come in under McGuinness, and as Daniel talks about, that aura of nearly, like, I'm believing everything he's saying, whereas Paddy Carr maybe coming in last year, there's no belief in what he was doing, there was no belief in what he was saying. Like, and you know, players are fickle too when you think about it. Like, when you actually stand back and actually look at this whole picture and think to yourselves, like, what has McGuinness brought differently? He's brought a high level of intensity of training, a high level of conditioning. They went long in every kickout and gambled, and even if you lose the long kickout, you still have the body's goal side of the play. You're still 100 metres from your goal, or 80 metres, you're not under any danger. Like, but they played with a narrow block, a defensive shape inside their 45. That they played, they nearly left channel 1 and 2, as I would call it, on both flanks. You know, they played that very, very well, and that they flooded bodies into those channels. They worked hard, Ryan, in defending 2/3 of the pitch. It was highlighted last night as well in the Sunday game. Like, there was nothing, like, magical or mythical about it, but they believed in the plan, Ryan. And that's a massive part of coaching, like, massive.
Yeah, definitely. And probably that's what McGuinness brings to the table, because he's been a winner, All-Ireland winner for Donegal. I've no doubt there is full belief in whatever he says, them boys will carry it out. And that's what I mean. In the first 5 to 10 minutes, Derry were dictating the ball, but you could still see that none of the Donegal players were getting frustrated, or they were trying to do their own thing, or they were pressing out too much, as you talk about. They stayed within the system. And I was reading Rory Cavanagh's book, and one of the things that he said back in 2011, 2012, when McGuinness was in charge of them, he wanted them to rate their performance on aggression, wanted them to rate their attack and play, their defensive play. But the last thing that he wanted them to rate out of 5 was their belief in sticking to the system. And that was the exact same thing I felt on Saturday evening. The Donegal boys let Derry have the ball wide. They didn't stupidly press out and then allow a gap in behind. And the thing is that I've mentioned this a few times, they were willing to, I suppose, suffer for 2 to 3 minutes at a time. And I've no doubt that's what the likes of McGuinness and Luke Barrett and these boys were doing on the training ground. They were forcing these players into situations where they said, you aren't going to have the ball for 3 or 4 minutes. Hold out, hold out, hold out, and just kept replicating it. And it's a simple game plan, but it's done to the letter of the law. And in order for that to happen, you need total belief from the players in what the manager is putting in place, and that's what they had. Now, what I would say is, of course, last year Donegal were a shambles, and there's probably not a massive change in personnel. A lot of people were saying it's because Michael Murphy was no longer there, And a lot of these Donegal players weren't stepping up to be the leader within the team. But like Pattern Mogan, Ryan McHugh, Langan, McGee, all them boys, McHugh maybe stepped away towards the end of last year, but all them players were there. So Donegal, for me, have a lots of quality. The players, maybe McGuinness said to themselves, the way he's performed last year and the way he's treated the jersey and maybe the Donegal supporters, you owe them massively this year around. So maybe McGuinness used that with them as well and got the buy-in from the start and said, we're never going to have another year like that. But look, I agree with Dan. Probably Donegal were totally focused on that game, and the game plan they had in place suited catching Derry on the hop. But probably Derry were playing a lot high press, they were playing man-on-man, and probably Derry were thinking, in the bigger picture, if they want to win All-Ireland, you know, that real low-block defensive system sitting in isn't going to win them the All-Ireland. So they were sticking to their game plan regardless, while Donegal changed just for Derry.
Yeah, and Les, you sort of talked about this as well, like, you know, about the aura of the individual. Like, you talked about your time as well, you know, playing when, you know, a Peter Canavan character comes in and takes a straight line drill, and then some Joe Bloggs from down the road takes it, and it's not the same, you know, it's not delivered the same. But he's a master of sports psychology. Obviously, he's qualified sports psychology. Just a wee sidetrack thing, and maybe there is a bit of coincidence behind it or a bit of paranoia, I'm not sure, but the Decky Bogue thing during the week where, you know, the Ulster Championship was being launched, McGuinness comes in, makes a scene, press officer, Decky, you can't be in the room, there's a whole video about it this week, and it's all that everyone was talking about in the lead up to the game. And is there an element of Jose Mourinho to that, where Mourinho used to do something spectacular in the week and lead up to the game, and everyone's talking about Mourinho and no one's talking about the players or the match, you know? And I wonder, was that part of, like, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a strategy in that method and that madness where he's thinking, you know what, I'll take a bit of heat off the boys here, there'll be no talk about our injuries, it'll all be my row with Decky Bogue. Like, would you think they were going to that depth?
Yeah, well, it almost seemed kind of irrational for it to happen, whatever it was, 12 years later and all that. So it was a bit of a bolt out of the blue, you know. But yeah, I suppose Decky would be delighted he had a hand in Donegal's win, I suppose. But look, it definitely did. It was the only thing that was being discussed. And yeah, like, there could be an element to that in the pageantry that kind of goes with him. Like, but I definitely think when you strip it all back, like, the foundations are very, very simple. As you say, he's a master of creating that, I won't call it a myth, but creating the aura and making players feel invincible to a certain point. Like, I mean, there was a couple of interviews afterwards and it was spoken about, like, how he gives them confidence and he makes them feel like, I mean, the midfield battle for me was the prime example of that. Like, McGee and Langan hadn't played a whole heap of football, and they went toe to toe with Glass and Brendan Rodgers and gave them their absolute fill of it. But the key to this one for me is that they did it in a way that they could do it. They didn't try to outrun Rodgers and Glass. They didn't try to tag them all over the field. They said, where can we get gains? Is from a war zone in the middle of the field on kickouts. That's where we'll get gains. And we'll when we're defending, we'll put our 2 6'5" lads, our centre back who's 6'5", we'll stand them at the top of the D and come and run at us. Like yes, I agree with you 100%. The way he controls narratives for his team, the way he controls narratives for media, even if it seems a bit silly, but it's all building the siege. And then when you strip it all back, then he has a group of lads that are willing to die for him, you know. So it's, I do think the stuff during the week is a bit unnecessary, though. I won't lie. I thought, geez, it was a bit much. But listen, history is written by the victors.
Yeah, we probably don't know what the extent of the argument is. I don't think it's ever actually been disclosed what the actual extent of the argument is. But I do know Declan Bogue very well, and he's a solid guy. I know he's a Fermanagh man, Ryan, and he has strong links to Fermanagh, and he's a proud Fermanagh man. But look, you know, it's a story probably for another day. But Ryan, on the game itself, you know, Derry, as good as Donegal were, and we can talk about, you know, the kickouts, we can talk about the defensive shape, Derry did leave a lot of chances behind him in the first half. And you sort of felt that if Derry maybe got in front and Donegal had to come out of that shell a little bit, then it's a completely different game. I don't know, it's all hearsay, you know, in hindsight, but Derry did leave a lot of chances right behind. And I also felt as well, Ryan, you know, Derry probably played probably a low-risk game when it came to even being in front of goal. I thought there was times that they had goal chances in the first half, Ryan, and they didn't go after them. I thought they took sort of easy options at different times. And I'm sort of thinking to myself, like, maybe further down the line, if they did meet again, I would say you'll probably see a much tighter game. And I would say that Derry will probably learn an awful lot from that game on Saturday past.
Yeah, well, there was certain opportunities in the first half where you know, Derry probably, on their own high standards, had poor wides, or they dropped a few short. And now a few did land in the square, and Patton just stuck his fist through them. And Donegal had that much bodies around there, they always mopped up the second ball. But it was a bit like exactly what we've mentioned there, 2014. If you remember that game, Dublin were dominant for the first 10 minutes. And it was like, how can Donegal even hang on here? But Dublin started forcing shots. They were missing. Dermot Connolly was maybe trying his, you know, his few worldies. Kieran McFaul had a couple of shots early on, the outside of the boot, etc. So, but all of that, what it did was it fed into Donegal's game plan. It fell into what McGuinness was telling them, that the boys just stick with it, stick with it, stick with it, and eventually we'll break them. And then next thing, Donegal maybe catch them for a goal. And then you could just see the Donegal players saying, yes, we do believe what he has told us is exactly what's going to happen. Now, if you take away, obviously, the goals, apparently Mickey Hart, that's the way he'll analyse it. He'll say, look, 2 to 3 goals there, boys. That'll never happen again. If we take that out of it, there was feck all in the game. But I don't know what it was. Maybe it just filters through. Players then become a wee bit more tight. Once you've missed the first few chances, you could see the likes of Lachlan Murray there missing shots. Glass is usually super accurate. He was missing. Your boy Donica Gilmore from maybe 21 yards out in the second half puts it into Patton's hands. So it's funny how it goes. You can, you know, Hart and probably Horse, they can't really explain why the Derry players were missing and coughing up so many easy chances. And probably if they did get that lead, then all of a sudden the Donegal game plan has to change slightly, where they need to come out of their defensive shape a bit more.
Yeah, and let's just look at the score here. Like, you know, it was 17 scores to 15. You know, like, right, I know it's a sort of silly narrative to throw out there. Like, oh, it's like, if you take the goals out, like, goals are a big part of the game. But it was uncanny, lads. Like, it was uncanny that 3 goals were nearly replicas. Like, you know, with the keeper chasing back, and it sort of stank a wee bit of sort of desperation from Derry too at times. Like, you sort of, it's become a bit, you know, it nearly became a bit comical that it was happening all the time. If Derry went in against Donegal again, would they do the same thing, or would they show a bit more respect and drop off kickouts?
It was actually interesting. I was thinking about this, right? So, you know, we're a great copycat sport, I think. Like, we always follow the trends, even if it might necessarily suit what we have. And obviously, there's Mickey Hart believes this is a positive thing. This is the way he can win games. But this is a positive tactic that he has. So I don't see why then you have a bad day at it. Would you stop? Like, I personally don't particularly like it. But obviously, he believes that it works. And maybe that's why he stuck with it. Yes, you could point to, like, you need to be flexible in your tactics as well. And maybe after a few minutes, you see, actually, these lads have got the kind of the bit of size around the middle of the field. Patton's not really looking for spaces. So Orm Lynch standing in the space is largely irrelevant. So maybe that's where I'd be looking at it. And maybe down the line, if these lads met again in the group stage, maybe that would be the case. But I'm not really sure. Like, even their alignment was off. I thought the back of the press, the back of Derry's press, should have been about 10 yards deeper. I think if they were playing again, I still think they'd press. But even the reaction, when it was very clear where Patton was going, like, once Patton has taken that first step, you know he's going long, because as you said, they went long all day. Short was never really on. So, like, every Derry player at that point, your wing back should have been tucking into the break zone. Your wing forward should have been tucking to the break zone. It should have been a really active sort of a movement towards the ball, where I thought Derry were very reactive. And I think the kick out kind of summed up where I thought Derry played with a lack of energy. To be honest with you, I thought they really played with a lack of energy. Doran, in fairness to him, said it a couple of weeks ago.
He did. I was just going to come to that. Like, yeah. I don't think it's the end of the world for Derry, right? And no. I'll be honest with you, they're now going to save themselves 2 titanic battles. Like, Derry Tyrone would have been a really, you know, real tough game. A week later, maybe pick up an injury, Ryan, you know, maybe pick up a knock or two. Then, Ledge, you've got an Ulster final against Down or Armagh. You know, on paper, it should be Armagh. Another battle, like, went to penalties last year, the same two teams. Like, and you're sort of thinking, like, what would that take out of you heading into the All-Ireland Series? You know, is that going to drain you? Are you going to pick up an injury to Conor Glass, to Shane McGuigan? You know, a player's going to run it. They had a week training camp in Portugal. I'm sure they got an awful lot of work done last week. A couple of them came back with lovely tans as well, I see. But they got a real, real good week's block of work done. Donegal have been looking at this game, I'd say, since January. Like, they've been looking at this round thinking, you know, we're Derry. McGuinness every week saying, Mickey Hart, you know, Derry, hammering it, hammering it, hammering it. And I would just say that probably meant an awful lot more to Donegal than it did to Derry. Like, Now, I thought, you know, obviously people came in the expectation that, Derry people came in the expectation they were going to win the game and they were going for three in a row. But I don't think, Ryan, it's the worst thing for Derry. I really don't think. They're going to get 3 to 4 weeks just undistracted now of good prep, you know, heading into the All-Ireland series, a bit fresher. You can tailor your training. If you're finding players are a wee bit tired, a wee bit off, look, have the night off. You know, we'll lower the intensity tonight or whatever. This is a great opportunity for Derry to really win Sam Maguire. Real good opportunity.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. And I think as long as the management team and the players treated like that, you know. I suppose the one thing is, Derry probably planned for that game for 2 weeks. After the league final, they had 2 weeks to prep for Donegal. Donegal were planning for Derry for 6 months, okay? So all the things that we talked about the game plan, etc., about the long kickouts and winning, getting bodies in around both sides of the ball, that takes practice on the training ground. And you probably don't get it mastered in 2 weeks. So what I'm saying is, Donegal, I have no doubt they weren't showing their hand in the league. Maybe at times for 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, they were trying it. But they had 6 months to get that in place. And probably in the long run, Derry, the way they play, you're asking me, will they keep on playing that style of game? Probably in the long run, that has served them well. And I think they won't change too much. They'll probably just tighten up. You know, Lynch probably could have been a bit sharper to get back towards his goals. There was a clip maybe where McCaig stand looking into Oisin Gallan's face whenever the goals are completely opened. Yeah. We think with that, I think Derry will learn from and probably have to tweak. And it's probably better happening now than an All-Ireland semi-final. So the other thing is, not too many teams, when you're playing Derry, you only have a week to 2 weeks max to prep for a certain team. So that was probably the only time they're ever going to come up against an opposition who was solely focused on them for 6 months. Yeah. And in fairness to them, McGuinness analysed every single thing. Like even the way Derry liked to attack down that left-hand side a lot, you could see even on Saturday, even they definitely flooded more bodies from a defensive point of view over to that side and forced Derry across. They identified probably that Derry liked to, you know, work in runners in behind. Donegal were, you know, they were super tight on that. The only time really I felt that Derry got in was Christy McCaig pissed it over the bar. And it was probably a 50-50 for a goal chance, but Donegal didn't switch off once. So I don't think it's the end of the world. I think it's not a true reflection of where Derry's at. There's no doubt about it. That league final, they put a massive performance in to get one over Dublin. So I think if they can regroup well, I would still feel Derry could potentially go further than Donegal in the All-Ireland.
Yeah, yeah. And Donegal now face Tyrone, Daniel, next weekend. You know, an unbelievable game of football in Breffni Park. You know, it hit everything. You know, like 3-16 to 1-23. It sounds nearly like a hurling scoreline more than an Ulster Championship game. You know, Ulster football in the past has been sort of associated with low attritional affairs, but certainly, Ledge, you know, yesterday's game was really exciting. Played with a real mix of through the hands, front foot football. Niall Morgan, great game as well. You know, some of his kick passing, some of his kick outs, I thought, you know, there was a great camera angle on a few of them, Ledge. You know, it just gave you a real good insight into the coolness and calmness of it. Niall's one of the best in the business at it. But will this Tyrone team cause Donegal problems?
If they go and play it like they did on Sunday, no. I think I think Tyrone are kind of in this transitional place where they probably need a balance of, like, they've got wildly good attacking players at the moment. And they could do with some more of that pragmatism from maybe 10 years ago, I think. I think that they need to be somewhere in the middle a little bit more. Like, first half, I thought they were exceptional in the first half. Like, I didn't actually think Cavan were that bad in the first half. I thought Cavan were okay, but I thought Tyrone's movement, the Canavans, like, I thought Matty Donnelly being back was huge. Like, Hamsey put the clamps on Lynch. I thought Tyrone were class. I have to say, first half, I thought they were amazing. And the second that Hamsey went off, it was like, it was like they were missing a massive part. Like, they were missing a massive part, but it was like they had no way of managing that game. And I think that's going to be key against Donegal. If you don't match Donegal and drop off kickouts probably, and maybe take your time in possession and be really methodical, Donegal will catch you on the break. You know, now the thing I'm going to throw in here will be the week. You know, who can recover faster? The day could be massive. I think, like you saw, even a lot of Donegal players going down with cramp, even just a normal time. That would be a concern for me. Can they replicate that effort? Because it is an attritional game going for those 100-meter transitions fairly regularly. But then Tyrone have played extra time as well. So I think Matty Donnelly spoke very well afterwards. He was kind of talking about some of his younger lads and how being in those scenarios of chaos, I think he called it, will be good for them in the long run. If they go and play loosey-goosey with Donegal, I think Donegal will just kind of strangle the life out of them. I don't think they'll be as naive as Derry. Like Ryan talked about learning earlier on. I think they're going to learn a huge amount from that Derry game. And like, I wouldn't expect the Classic next week, to be honest with you. I'd be amazed if they didn't drop off Patton an awful lot. I'd be amazed if they didn't hold the ball for much more, like for extended periods of time. I'd be amazed if any attack they go with doesn't finish in some sort of a dead ball. Like, they won't give Donegal transition opportunities that Derry did last day.
Yeah, and it could be a sort of a case, Ryan, of roles reversed next week. You know, that if Donegal go hard after Niall Morgan, you know, Tyrone have got that Armalite too, where they can go long and kick outs that can cause problems for teams. You know, they've done that in the past with Kerry, with Mayo. But I would say McGuinness, I've seen him at the match yesterday with Luke Barrett. I would say, you know, that he's looked at them now in great depth, and he's probably thinking to himself, you know, we'll need to respect Niall Morgan in the same way that they respected Orrin Lynch, particularly early in the game, because they did drop off a lot of kickouts early in the game. And what Daniel talked about there is very interesting. I don't think this will be a hurling scoreline. I think this will be a very, very tight, cagey, attritional affair next weekend. And the 1 week, Ryan, the 1 week's a big, big factor too, isn't it? Like, even from a physical point of view.
Yeah, definitely. Physical point of view, the day even matters. Like, obviously, Tyrone went to extra time yesterday. A lot of Tyrone players came off cramping. Dara Canavan came off. Kennedy actually came off where he had his hamstring strapped. So, again, it'll depend on are these players able to get themselves back up to the championship level for next Sunday. Derry, for me, the Derry-Donegal game, it was tough as well, but Donegal were in control going into the last 15 minutes, you know. So, I actually think Tyrone will be a lot more fatigued going into the game next Sunday. What I would say about Donegal is, and again, I've mentioned this a few times, it's 6 months to prepare for Derry. Can they get up to that level of focus and aggression and really, you know, single-mindedness for Tyrone in the space of a week? Can McGuinness do the same analysing of Tyrone's players and identify maybe different trends? Tyrone have changed a lot of their players throughout the National League campaign, while Derry had more or less the same team. So it's probably, in one way, easier to analyse Derry than it is in Tyrone. But what I would feel is, I feel Donegal players they're more seasoned, you know, like Pattern Mogan, Ryan McHugh, Langan, Thompson, Paddy McBurdy could be thrown in from the start, the O'Donnells. I just feel Tyrone have too many younger players that maybe haven't played. Yes, they've probably played under 20s, all Irelands and stuff like that, but I feel Donegal are still a bit ahead of Tyrone, and I think they'll do a job on the two boys inside, Dara Canavan and McCurry. And I think the running power will cause Tyrone problems.
I was just going to say that, Ryan. You were at the game yesterday. Like, from a space perspective, like, was there a lot of space for you know, obviously on TV you can see, like, but, you know, in real time, was there a lot of space for the two boys inside?
There was a lot of space for Canavan and McCurry. There was. But on the flip side, I felt that Calvin got lots of space at times, and they got in down the sides pretty easy, you know, created goal chances by getting in down the sides and cutbacks, etc. I think Donegal will cause Tyrone a lot of trouble defensively. Matty Donnelly is sitting there in nearly like a sweeper role. So I think Donegal will just have their angle running. Like, even what I noticed yesterday was how comfortable the Donegal players are in the ball. Derry had an extra man when one of the O'Donnells got blackcarded. And Donegal players were all so, it looked like they had the extra man. You know, they were able to just go at their men one-on-one and keep the ball and pass and move. I just think, in general, Donegal have a bit more about them. And I think Tyrone aren't as aggressive as what they were off the Tyrone of old defensively.
Yeah, and Led, you made that point just that Ryan made there too as well. Like, it is hard to replicate that intensity on a week-to-week basis. Like, it's really hard to, you know, to bring yourself up to those levels again. But certainly, you know, Tyrone have good footballers, Daniel. You know, they've good footballers. But I think one of the things that probably epitomised their National League performance this year was probably inconsistency. And, you know, I remember talking to Kieran McGeary about this, actually. We were down with him a few weeks before the league started. He took a session with me and sort of chatting to him a wee bit about Tyrone. And he said, like, frustrating for him is that 1 week they can produce these unbelievable performances, and then the following week, you know, it's like a flatness. Like, and I went to the National League game against Dublin, their last National League game, and it was terrible. Like, Dublin absolutely dismantled them. Like, so Tyrone need to be at it next week. They need to be at it. They really need to be on their game. You know, everyone needs to be playing really, really well, because Donegal will have a system. They will have a plan. They will stick rigidly to it. Not a lot will change next week with Donegal, Daniel. Not a lot will change. Like, but certainly Tyrone, you're nearly not sure what Tyrone are going to show up, you know?
Yeah. And that's the fear for them. Like, that's, you know, that inconsistency, I think, comes from maybe a lack of clarity about their identity. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're sitting here, we can say very clearly what Donegal are and what they're going to do. Whereas with Tyrone, you don't really know. Like, I mean, they tried to play a game management sort of game yesterday in the second half, and it just didn't fall with them. They're defending overly well as a unit. Like, I mean, anytime Cavan, as Ryan alluded to, got a little switch, they got in behind, you know. So I think Tyrone are struggling with identity a small bit, and like you're guessing what's going to show up next weekend. You really don't know. I think it's a very tough ask for players. Like, I think the tempo will be way down, and it'll probably be more of a footballing game, and better bowlers might show up. What I will say for Tyrone, and this will be the worrying thing, I thought in the first half, Tyrone went into the spine for the kick out. Niall Morgan, like, you know, when you're in the driving range, Steve, you know all about this. And yeah, when there's no trees, there's no objects in your way, you can be pinging these little tree irons, not a problem, little low stingers, right? But you go out into a course 10 minutes later and you see a tree in a bunker, and whatever, a river, all of a sudden you've slices, you've got hooks, you've got tops, right? Morgan yesterday was like he was in a driving range. He had 60 yards to the right, 60 yards to the left, and he was able to just, like, he was class. But I thought Cavan were really naive. And the last kick out, when Cavan had an opportunity, and Joe Goose won a really, he just made a straight line run from the far 65, ran to the wing and caught a kick out. I thought it was crying out for Cavan to go with a zonal press. And I don't think Donegal are going to go into a spine like that naively. Donegal will give Morgan more issues around the kick out. And again, look at the back of Donegal's press. McGonagall, McGee, Langan, Kieran Thompson. Like, that is going to be a serious battle. And I think Donegal have some really good tools to pin Tyrone in a little bit. And if Tyrone don't have the platform to give the ball to these lively forwards, that could be an issue for them.
Yeah, no, it could be a big issue. I've played golf with Morgan a few times now. He'll be delighted with that wee reference to golf, like, because he's a bloody good golfer as well, the fricker. But Ryan, just on that, like what Daniel's saying there, like, you know what, it's a big game for Tyrone. You know, it's a big game for Brian Doher. It's a big game for Fergal. I think Fergal was back involved, which is brilliant to hear as well. You know, that he's keeping well after his health scare. But, you know, it's a massive game. It's probably much more of a bigger game for Tyrone heading into the All-Ireland series than it is for Donegal, Ryan. Because if Donegal weren't to win at the weekend, they still have that psychological win over Derry. They still have the Division 2 title in the bag, and they're still getting in with a bounce. Whereas Tyrone, you know, if they come out of this weekend with, you know, with a defeat, and it could just stall momentum for them heading into the All-Ireland series.
Yeah, that's it, 100%. And I agree with Dan, I'm just not 100% convinced by Tyrone yet. And even yesterday, in the first half, they looked outstanding, and there was loads of space, and they were swiveling, and they were getting shots away from distance. And you thought, this is Tyrone, you know, the quality players that they have. But then all of a sudden, it looked like they were on the ropes for a large period of the second time. I know Hampsey gone off, but even still, when Hampsey came back on the pitch, Tyrone couldn't regain that control. And for me, that's just, I feel they've a lot of younger players on the pitch at the moment. You know, they haven't the same experience built up as the likes of a Derry or Donegal. I know Donegal had a poor year last year, but a lot of them Donegal players they've won numerous Ulster titles over the last number of years. And I do think, yes, Donegal will respect Morgan, but with the power and the size that they have around the middle, outside of Kennedy, a lot of them Tyrone players, Liam Gray made his debut yesterday, Donoghue made his championship debut around the middle yesterday. Yeah. So if they'll match Kennedy, I think Donegal will say, we can do a job in Morgan's kick out and really squeeze the life out of Tyrone and, you know, make that their platform on the game. Defensively, of course, they'll block up the space and they'll double up in Canavan, etc. It was funny, the only real player that they man-marked at the weekend was Shane McGuigan. All the rest was that zone that we talk about and not falling out of that shape. I think Canavan might be the only player that they're probably focusing on, maybe McCurry slightly, but it'll just be like a spider's web for Tyrone trying to get through it. And on the flip side, I think Donegal's running power is a wee bit superior than what Tyrone have at the moment. So it's a big game for both teams, but I still think Donegal, if they get up, and I think they will, you know, both teams through the years, there's massive rivalry there. I think it's Donegal's game for me.
Yeah, and Led, you did make a very good point there about Tyrone's identity. Like, you're nearly sort of thinking to yourself, like, can they flick the switch? Can they go into that sort of, you know, slow attritional game? I'm not sure, because they have been trying to play a different way, and it's nearly a hybrid system. It's not nearly man-to-man, but it's not nearly, you know, full-out defensive. Like, whereas the Tyrone of old under Hart, you know, would have been very, very deep line defensive block. Like, so it will be very interesting. But Led, just on Cavan, like, Raimi Gallen's first year, Obviously, they didn't get promoted out of Division Two, but people have probably got to remember they only come up from three, you know, and they were safe after three or four games, like, so they'd retained their Division Two status. Some really good performances, and then some really poor performances, some flat performances, but they'll take a lot of heart from that at the weekend, surely, as well. And some good players like Oisin Brady, Paddy Lynch, like, good forwards, you know, and it's a Cavan team, probably, lads, that, you know, was living off the back of four or five consecutive under 21 titles in the sort of 2010 era. But those players, Gary McKeown and those boys, have come to the end now. But they've some real good footballers, Cavan.
Yeah, I thought Cavan really added to the game yesterday. Like, and in fairness to them, but and like we talked an awful lot about when you go down the divisions, the confidence can be a very brittle thing. Like, and to come back from 6 points down, you know, and even midway through the second half, to be still 6 points down. I thought it showed a really good buy-in into what they were doing and sticking to process, sticking to system. And like, look, Tyrone definitely made it a bit easier for them, but they still had to go and take the chances. And they kicked some really, really good scores. They didn't force it. They didn't like go too long, too early. Like we're going to talk about Connacht in a while, but I thought the quality of forward play in the two Ulster games at the weekend was really, really high. Like it was slick.
Do you think that's coaching?
I think so. I just thought it looked so much slicker. It didn't look ad hoc. It didn't just look like give the ball to a really good player, let him do something. It looked like not overcoached, but it looked like there was a plan in place. And I think this has been a really good year for Cavan, to be honest with you. I think they'll be absolutely delighted. Like, and yes, they'll be disgusted to come out on the wrong side. That was a massive opportunity for them, but still some massive positives to take, I think.
Yeah, well, I think it leads me in nicely to you know, you talk about real good offensive coaching, Mayo. You know, I watched the game yesterday, Ryan, and like, I know you're not a big fan of Connacht football. I think Connacht and Munster for me, you know, and Leinster, obviously, I know the three of them, like, but unless Mayo.
So who do you like, Ulster? Is it
all? Well, like, you know, no, I'm not sorry. That's probably the wrong. I probably
London,
I've worded that wrong. But what I would say is that a lot of the games you're going into them just thinking, you know who's going to win this, you know, and you know, now we'll chat about with Sligo and Galway in a second, but I just felt yesterday, Ryan, right? Roscommon have real good footballers, they've good forwards. I thought Damard Murdo was exceptional yesterday, thought he'd brilliant. Great to see Ultan Harney back in the field after travelling. Ultan's a real competitor, a real warrior, a lot of time for Ultan, he's a good fellow as well. But I just felt Mayo, like, they just played so ad hoc. I just couldn't see any, like, even their transition at times was poor. And you're looking at the illustrious management team they have and these sort of super coaches, and you're thinking to yourself, like, I don't really see an identity. What Daniel talks about, the identity in Tyrone, I don't see an identity in Mayo, Ryan. And it's all right talking about Mayo love, chaos. That's nonsense. Like, chaos not going to win you a fucking All-Ireland, like, you know, and a bit of structure and a bit of coaching. I would be concerned for Mayo, Ryan. You know, I wasn't overly impressed with him yesterday. And Roscommon set up, Davey obviously likes to play, you know, very, very rigidly defensively. He likes to have a good defensive shape to his team. And like, Roscommon, they struggled with Roscommon for long periods. Struggled.
Yeah, well, I didn't see the game, to be honest, Stephen. But what I would say is probably Mayo haven't set the world alight from an attacking point of view for me this last number of years. Like, I have seen them live, and as you said, sometimes you're saying to yourself, unless they can get goals, they're going to struggle to tag on 13, 14 points when it comes to real championship games. Yeah. As for Roscommon, I feel Roscommon are underachieving. Like, I feel there's loads of quality in that Roscommon team, and I feel they should definitely be doing a lot better than where they're at. Maybe their style of play, if you're talking about that Davey likes a real... Of course, every manager wants you to be defensively sound, but I think Roscommon are too heavy on that side of things, and they're not letting players express themselves, or maybe there isn't enough coaching from an attacking point of view. But Mayo, Roscommon, it seemed to be there was a lot of wides, there was a lot of errors throughout. And look, Mayo have some very good players, but I think on the front foot, and when it comes to the bigger games, I don't think they can score enough. I don't think they can generate enough, you know, attack and flair. And I think that's going to catch them probably down the line. Now, they're going into a Connacht final against a Galway team who we don't really know where they're at. So they could still win a Connacht title. And probably that's the level that Mayo's at for me right now.
Yeah, and lads, like, you know, just to say what Ryan said there about Roscommon, like, Roscommon have good forwards, you know, Enda Smith, Donny Smith, Ben O'Carroll, obviously it's been a big addition for them now. I know I heard after Davey talked about Ben O'Carroll being injured, long year with the club, you know, only back three sessions under his belt. Obviously, he'll get stronger over the next few weeks. Dara Craig kicked 7 or 8 points, lads, in a Sigerson Cup final. Brilliant footballer. You know, that group from coming through from the under-20s a few years ago. Like, the Roscommon do have good forwards, like, and might be just maybe a belief factor or something yesterday. I don't know. But Mayo was certainly there for the taking. They won a huge percentage of their own kick-out sledge. They won, I think Davey mentioned, 30% of Mayo's. I thought every time Mayo went long, Roscommon seemed to have an answer for it. You know, in a flip side of the Derry Donegal game, Roscommon were coping with a long kick-out. Roscommon probably be disappointed that they've let a Connacht final slip there.
Well, when you consider the numbers, like, you know, when you just the kick-out platforms alone and the amount of attacking opportunities Roscommon would have had, like, it's criminal, really. I think Roscommon are crying out for, like, a Jim McGuinness character, you know, who gives them absolute staunch belief in whatever it is they do, whether it's, like, playing as they're playing or playing all-out attack or whatever it is, that they have total, like, they're totally focused on it. And I'm not sure... For me, I'm not sure all players are totally bought into what they're doing at the moment. Again, that's just an external view, but I'm not sure if, like, some of the comments in the media and some different things we've talked about with Burke over the last while, like, even throwing a player that's had three sessions into a Connacht Championship is a little bit unusual. Like, you know, to start him. Like, I mean, it's, I don't know. Roscommon look like they need a very focused clarity about what they're doing. And I know from your time in there as well, like, you know, you try to put something in place and maybe there's dissenting voices either high up level or in the background, or whether it's the supporters or whatever it might be. But I thought the game yesterday in general just lacked any kind of, like, there was moments of quality. But, you, like, after the Derry Donegal game, after Cavan Tyrone, you could very clearly say what both teams are doing. I couldn't, like, you're obviously trying to analyse the game for this today. I couldn't really analyse Roscommon and Mayo. I couldn't decipher anything major from it. Like, and look, the Aidan O'Shea goal, like, Aidan O'Shea played inside for the first 15 minutes, won lots of ball. We know that doesn't work in Croke Park. We know that doesn't work against Dublin. It's been tried.
Yeah.
That goal is probably the difference ultimately. And Mayo looked to be cruising, but they were still only 4 points up with 10 minutes to go or whatever it was, you know? So there was definitely a win there for Roscommon. They're probably, again, as I said, they lack the clarity of purpose. I think they also lack probably that bit of, we talk about Down having that bit of personality around that the middle of the field, a bit of man size. I think they lack probably a little bit of that because they have lovely silky forwards. I think we're not going to see either of those teams making an indent in later on the summer, to be honest with you.
Semi-final is probably the glass ceiling for both those counties, you know, in the championship. Just to stay in Connacht for a couple of minutes, lads. You know, Sligo, Ryan, we've talked about this, like, and I've noticed, I think Sligo, the work Sligo's doing under his level is very visible. And I always feel like if you're visible and you can see what's going on, you know, that's a good sign. You know, you see, I would follow their games and coaching administration and stuff like that on Twitter. You see a lot of real good S&C work going on, a lot of good structures in place. You would probably have the stats for me here, I'm not sure, but have they won 2 to 3 or 4 or 5 maybe under 20s and minors in the last couple of years? Is that right?
Yeah, so they've won the last two Connacht under 20s and they got to the All-Ireland final at under 20 level last year. Kildare beat them, but they have 11 of those players back underage this year. Now, funny, we played them in the championship in Connacht and we were 5 up going into injury time and they came back and got a draw. But if they had lost that game, they were out. But for me, I could see in the last 10 minutes that the belief, you know, sometimes people would feel Sligo maybe a bit flaky, or they're maybe their city, their, you know, soccer is their priority, but I could really see a belief, number one, within that under 20 squad. And as it turns out now, they've went through to a semi-final and that could kickstart them for potentially winning 3 in a row. So the strength and condition was another massive thing that I noticed with Sligo. They've definitely got their house in order. I know from chatting a few different Sligo people, they've said the last 4 to 5 years, they've really went after their S&C. And as a result, they're very competitive now in underage. What apparently they had 100 guys at the start of the year in their under 20 squad, all doing the S&C until obviously they had to cut the squad down to 30, 35 players. So that just shows you where Sligo's at, that probably, you know, soccer no longer is the big pull. And they got up to Division 3 this year and they more than held their own.
They
beat a Westmeath team who needed to win to make sure that they got promoted. Now they got promoted anyway. So McEntee's done a great job. I'd say he's added a bit of steel to them. And last year, Galway gave them a bit of a trimming, but Sligo were coming off a Division 4 campaign. You could see the improvement. I know Galway maybe weren't firing, but I think Sligo are definitely one of the teams that a lot of other counties could look at and say, we can definitely put our house in order like Sligo.
Yeah, it's just a wee culture shift, Ledge. You know, it's a wee culture shift, and you know, you want to try and change the culture. Ryan talked about even getting so many players involved in that process. they're going to bring that back to their clubs. They're going to bring that culture back, you know, to the groups that they're working with or their schools or whatever. But Ledge, on that, like, it's nearly the moral victory. Like, I know, listen to Paddy McBride saying, just put it up to them. And Paddy McBride took offense to that. And I liked McBride's interview after the game against Down a few weeks ago. He says, I'm sick of people saying we put it up to them. We came here to win a game. And it nearly felt as if Sligo needed that win, Ledge, even to give the younger players, as Ryan talked about, coming through to say, you know what, we're close to a real breakthrough win here, because it would have been a significant win, Daniel, for them to beat Galway in the championship leg. And it's nearly like the one, Ledge, I don't remember, you remember the Monaghan game in 2017 we were involved in, and it's the backslaps for getting so close, and you're thinking, you know what, should have won that game. We should have actually won that game. And it's one of those ones where I think Sligo probably threw that away, you know, and Ryan talks about that playing in Division 3 level, probably that just little bit of experience that Galway had, Comer coming onto the field late in the game as well, when players are starting to tire, you know, but it certainly is green shoots for Sligo moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we speak an awful lot about your foundation has to be your S&C, like, you know, and as Ryan has alluded to, like, getting that sorted is your starting block. Like, without that, you can have all the footballers in the world, but you won't be able to compete, you know, and so that's obviously been a really good foundation for them. I saw the Galway goal. Like, I mean, Sligo are comfortable keeping the ball in the middle of the field, and how often do we talk about simple mistakes, fatigue, errors? You know, it was just a fumble, and fairness, Galway finished it. Like, on a side note, this doesn't augur well for Galway either, to be honest with you. No. No matter what way you look at it, then, like, a Division 3 team getting to a provincial final would have thrown this, would have thrown a cat among the pigeons altogether. But I think that would have been a massive win for Sligo. It probably would have been a shot in the arm for the provincials, you know, and for all that kind of stuff as well. But I think Sligo are heading in the right direction, you know, and that's the main thing for them. It would have been fantastic, yes, but not necessarily pivotal for the overall. They probably need to go back and look back, and he'll use this now as a really good stepping stone for the Tailteann Cup. And this competition could be very beneficial for them, because if they can manage to go deep into the Tailteann Cup, like, that would be a lovely lead on to division for next year for the league, and hopefully getting promoted again. So, look, as I said, it's no coincidence. You get your underage sorted out. You get a kind of a culture of S&C, a culture of, as you say, 100 lads buying into the process. That goes an awful long way.
Yeah. And the other games of the weekend, Ryan, you know, Kerry, we're not going to learn anything about Kerry and Munster, let's be honest. It's a pre-season competition for them, a bit like Dublin Ledge and Leinster. We're going to learn nothing. Clare kicked 220 against Waterford. So it's a Kerry-Clare final now. You know, 3 points in the game, Ryan, Kerry and Cork. There was 3 points in it. You know, Cork are probably another team as well that they're just sort of thinking, you're waiting on it just to ignite, aren't you? And just say, look, just go and fucking take a scalp and a big win. But certainly Cork will probably take a little bit of heart from going to Fitzgerald Stadium and putting it up to Kerry. But nothing new about Kerry, Ryan. Nothing new. The Cliffords, you know.
I only watched the highlights, Stephen, and it's probably the same old story where Cork could have got relegated out of Division 2 this year. If they lost to Fermanagh that day up in Edirne and they won it with the last kick of the game goal, that probably saved them. And then they can go and they can give Kerry a real go of it, because probably at that stage, as you said, Kerry aren't operating anywhere near full tilt, and they'll play an open game of football. They're, you know, they're trying a few different things for probably further down the line. And Cork, if you play with Cork, you know, toe-to-toe, they'll cause you trouble. They've a lot of pace, they've a lot of power. Matty Taylor, Hurley up front, all these boys can perform. But it's the same old story, Cork. You know, they seem to run Kerry so close, and then eventually they end up losing by 3 to 4 points. And you're probably saying, right, that should be a good confidence booster for Cork. Now they can really kick on in the rest of the campaign. But you don't know what could happen to Cork. Like, they could go out the next day in the round robin, and they could get beat by a mediocre team, let's face it. So, it doesn't really excite me, the Munster Championship. And now it's as you said, Kerry-Clare. Clare have lost about 10 to 12 players, we said, from last year. And they've still made their way through the Munster final, and Kerry will probably beat them handy enough without really, you know, going full tilt either.
Yeah. But next weekend, Ledge, obviously standout games next weekend, Donegal, Tyrone. Kildare Louth will be interesting in Leinster. Dublin Offaly, unfortunately, it'll be a difficult day for the young players of Offaly, I'm sure, but hopefully they can do themselves a bit of justice in Croke Park. And down Armagh. So we'll be back next week to look at those games, lads, on next Monday. But listen, boys, thanks for the insights today. Good chatting, and look after yourselves.
Thanks, lads. See you later.